Today's gospel comes from Luke in the 10th chapter. An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to vindicate himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and took off, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, treating them with oil and wine. Then he put on him his own animal. Or put him on his own animal, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, friends, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The parable of the Good Samaritan is probably the most well-known parable that Jesus tells. It begins with a man who is trained in the Jewish law, trained in the Jewish tradition. And he's putting Jesus to the test. "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" he asks. And Jesus replies with a question of his own, saying, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" The man answers by reciting the heart, the core of the Jewish faith and practice. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength and mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus affirms his answer. And just when you think the conversation is over, the man presses further, perhaps trying to prove himself even more. He asks Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" I think the man's question is really a polite way of asking, "Who isn't my neighbor? Who can I ignore? Who can I overlook or avoid while still adhering to the law? Whose hunger or pain can I dismiss? Who can I blame or scapegoat? Where are the boundaries?" And so Jesus tells a story. And in doing so, Jesus reframes the question. He doesn't really define who qualifies as a neighbor, but he shows us what it looks like to be a neighbor. It's about identity and not action. A man is attacked by robbers and left for dead. 2 religious leaders, a priest and a Levite, see him, and they both then pass over to the other side of the road. They don't stop. They don't help. They don't even check to see if the man is dead. One of the best explanations that I have come across for the actions of these first two men that come across him, it's from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Shortly before his death, he preached on this parable. He said, "I'm going to tell you what my imagination tells me. it's possible these men were afraid. And so the first question the priest and the Levite asked was, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But then the Good Samaritan comes by and he reverses the question. If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? See, I think this shift in thinking from fear to compassion is an example of what it looks like when we're transformed in Christ. King suggests that the priest and the Levite, they're stuck in fear and self-preservation. They're concerned about themselves and what it might cost them. They're having to calculate that cost. But the Samaritan is free from that kind of fear. He doesn't ask what helping might cost him. He asks what inaction might cost the other. It's the shift from self-preservation to self-giving love. Now, Martin Luther, the 16th century reformer whose name that our tradition bears, and after whom Dr. King was named, he taught a concept that he called the freedom of a Christian. And in that, he taught that we are simultaneously freed from and freed for. That we're freed from sin and death through Christ, and we're freed for serving the neighbor. Let me explain this a little more. Because of Christ's death and resurrection, we are freed from the power of sin and death and freed from having to prove our worth. That's what he called self-justification. You see, Luther sort of believed that the default mode of our human heart is to constantly try to justify our existence through our performance, through our goodness, our success, our moral standing. We're always comparing and striving to live up to some impossible standard that we place on ourselves, that others place on us. And you see, this leaves us stuck. This leaves us stuck and trapped in sort of a vicious cycle. But the good news of the gospel is that that's not the way it is with God. The good news of the gospel is that we don't earn God's love. We don't have to anxiously prove our worth or our value. You are loved because you are precious in God's sight. You are loved because you are precious in God's sight. God has called you and claimed you by name in baptism as God's own. You are enough. And Christ on the cross shows us this. This is the good news. This is what it means to live in freedom from Christ. This is the same kind of freedom that the Samaritan demonstrates for us. He's not acting out of fear or the need to prove himself. He's not calculating how it will affect his image. He is free to see the man in the ditch as a neighbor. Not as a threat or a burden, not someone who may or may not be worthy of his time and attention, but someone who is simply one for whom God loves. A person who is worthy of mercy and compassion. This is what the gospel does to us. When we know and when we trust deeply that we are secure in Christ, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, it's then that we are freed from the exhausting need to prove ourselves or to guard our image. We don't have to ask what will happen to me, because we rest in God's grace and love, and nothing can take that away. We are freed from to be freed for others, to see others as neighbors. And in doing so, our hearts then become outward facing. We are freed then to start asking, what will happen to them if I don't act what will happen to them? God wants to break open our hearts so that we see our love, so that we can see that our love for God is inseparable from our love for neighbor. In fact, our love for God is made real through our love for others, because God's priority is people. God's priority is people, the well-being of all people. And God's love doesn't make distinctions. In Jesus' parable, the Jews and the Samaritans are enemies. They're like estranged cousins. They share these similar and same roots, but long-standing hostility, long-standing mutual blame and rivalry. For Jesus' Jewish listeners, the people who are listening to Jesus tell the story, the idea of a Samaritan being the hero, or worse, the one who helps them, well, that's a hard pill to swallow. They almost would have rather died than be helped by a Samaritan. Jesus is pointing to a deeper truth. It's only a few chapters earlier where he said, "Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you." Maybe, just maybe, our spiritual growth, the experience that we have of the freedom that we have in Christ, just maybe this is deeply connected to our willingness to even see our enemies as human beings, to pray for them and to love them. This is not easy by any means, and I think it's good to clarify that loving your enemies does not mean offering a free pass. It does not mean suffering abuse or allowing them to trample all over you. St. Paul encourages us to speak the truth in love. So I think loving our enemies is learning to see them as fellow human beings and to want what is best for them as we do ourselves. To speak the truth in love means to love them and see them as human beings while also still speaking the truth about how one's actions can hurt others, how we can be complicit in injustice. I also don't think that Jesus is calling us to be better Samaritans. This isn't about performance. I think we're actually like the man in the ditch, wounded and helpless, in need of mercy. And Christ is the one who comes to us and binds up our wounds and carries us to safety and cares for us. He shows us mercy, grace, forgiveness, and love, not because we've earned it, but because that is who God is. And once we've experienced that kind of grace, once we've been rescued, once we have experienced that incredible grace and love, we're then free to go. And to love like that, to go and do likewise. Not because we have to, but because we've already received everything in Christ. And now we're free. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, you meet us in our need and you show us mercy through Christ, who lifts us from the ditch and heals our wounds. Set us free from fear and the need to prove ourselves so that we may live in the freedom of your grace. Break open our hearts to see others as neighbors and not burdens. Move us from self-preservation to self-giving love. Let your Spirit guide us to love as we have been loved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.